presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Final home game for Georgia seniors tomorrow. We'll talk a lot about that, the game against Kentucky coming up. But before we kind of get into that part of the show today, let's talk about some big news for UGA recruiting. Four-star defensive tackle Jordan Davis does join Georgia's class of 2018 yesterday. I think this is a good get for the Dogs. It's one that Jeff Sintel's been kind of foreshadowing a lot here at Dog Nation Daily lately. When he's been on our program, he's been talking about Davis a lot as one of these defensive tackles that Georgia was in the mix for and kind of moving in that direction. And so kind of as expected, Davis does join Georgia's class last night. Now, I think there are a few things about the Davis addition here that you want to kind of point out as good news for Georgia. I guess the first thing that kind of pops in my mind is this is a big guy. 6'6", 330 pounds is what I see him listed out on the internet here. And, you know, that's important. You know, obviously we saw Georgia not have success against Kerryon Johnson and Auburn on Saturday. That's a group that kind of came in and pushed Georgia around a little bit. Kerryon Johnson found some running room in the inside. Most teams haven't done that to Georgia this season. Auburn was able to do that on Saturday. So you always want to have that beef up front, those big defensive tackles. And I think there is something kind of interesting about seeing one of these guys like this coming into the fold for the 2018 class who just brings a lot of size with him there. The other thing that you like about the addition of Jordan Davis is it shows the impact of Trey Scott, a defensive line coach for Georgia that when he came in, you weren't 100% sure what his resume was going to be. You know, this was a guy that had spent just a very, like, 5 minutes at Ole Miss before spending some time before that at North Carolina. But the profile for the recruits that North Carolina, Trey Scott's old job, the profile of recruit they're chasing down there in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, very different than it is at Georgia. You know, you're not bringing in the elite 4- and 5-star guys. So we really didn't know what kind of recruiter Scott was going to prove to be coming to Georgia. And that was an important question given the fact that his predecessor, Tracy Rocker, probably did not get it done with some of the big names. Lost out on Aubrey Solomon. Lost out on Derrick Brown. Lost out on Dontavius Russell. Lost out on some guys that Georgia probably would have liked to have had. So some pressure was going to be on Scott to kind of come in here and deliver some top flight defensive linemen. And it's kind of interesting to see Scott use his relationships with the state where he used to live, North Carolina, to kind of bring in Jordan Davis here. And he may do the same thing with Rick Sandage later on. But it seems like Trey Scott, a relatively young defensive line coach, is paying some dividends for Georgia thus far, which is another thing to kind of like about the Jordan Davis addition. Also, when it comes to stuff like this, I find myself kind of thinking about how it sort of moves Georgia up the rankings for the recruiting rankings. I'm no different than any other fan here. I like seeing Georgia near the top. The recruiting rankings do matter to me because when I look at the teams who are winning national championships, they are also, ironically, some of the same teams who factor in those top three recruiting spots usually as well, including Alabama, who seems to be number one every year. Well, Georgia currently ranked number 5, but the addition of Davis gives Georgia a much better chance of cracking the top three. Just if you look at even the basic numbers here, as I said, Georgia at number 5, but Miami, who's number 4, has 19 commitments. That's more than Georgia's 18. The number 3 team on this list, Penn State, the 24/7 Sports composite team ranking, Penn State's already got 22 commitments. So the score between Georgia and, you know, Miami, Penn State's actually relatively close. By adding Davis, I think Georgia makes a move towards going into the top three, but as I say all the time, some of y'all are much better at the math, you know, at that than I am. But nonetheless, adding a 4-star guy here gives Georgia a chance to be again in 2018 where it was for 2017, which is in the top three before it's all said and done. When Jeff Sintel's on Dog Nation Daily later on in just a couple of minutes, one of the things I'm definitely going to talk to him about, and I'm going to talk to you about it right now because I am very curious. You know, Jeff told us the other day that Georgia was probably looking to add 2 more defensive tackles. We'll assume that Jordan Davis was one of those. That leaves one more defensive tackle still be to added for the class of 2018. Who is the most likely name on this list? Now, I don't mind telling you. For me, what I have been hopeful for the entire time is that it's Robert Cooper, the big guy from South Gwinnett, the current Florida State commit, another guy that, you know, bring some real heavy poundage and some incredible size to the table. Cooper's been the most desirable target for me for, you know, a lot of the basic reasons that he probably is for you. Highest rated defensive tackle in the state of Georgia, as I said, his size, the fact that, you know, he's an elite enough prospect to be the kind of guy that's already been committed to Florida State. You like it when you flip guys from major programs. Cooper's been my top pick. When Jeff Sintel's been here on Dog Nation Daily, though, he's kind of acted like that maybe the relationship between George and Cooper might be, I don't want to put words in Jeff's mouth, but softening here somewhat. Sounds like, based on what Jeff's written, that Cooper's not close to making a decision. Not only is he not going to be an early enrollee, but he's not even going to be an early signee. Apparently, December may come and go without Robert Cooper signing a national letter of intent if you listen to what Jeff Sintel has written here lately. So maybe Georgia, just by virtue of the fact that wants to kind of lock things down here, may move off from Cooper. I hope that's not the case, but maybe that's what happens here, which opens the door back up for guys like Rick Sandage, who I talked about before, who's also from the state of North Carolina. His mom is a South Carolina graduate. It's been thought that Sandage was a bit of a long shot for Georgia. But the fact that these Sandage-Georgia rumors continue may make it be that it's not quite as much of a long shot as we initially thought. And then there's Christian Barmore in the picture here as well from Pennsylvania. You know that DeAndre Swift and Mark Webb would love to have another guy from Pennsylvania down here on the Georgia team, and I'm sure they're doing their part to talk him up, because I believe Jeff has said that they do know each other a little bit. So, I mean, that's kind of the basic situation you're left with. Another defensive tackle spot in this 2018 class. Maybe it's Cooper, maybe it's Sandage, maybe it's Christian Barmore. They would seem to be the three guys vying for that spot in the class. We'll kind of see how it goes. But adding Jordan Davis here in the week in which it happens kind of opens up for me an even more important conversation than that. And I can't help but notice the contrast here between Georgia, which keeps getting better by bringing in elite recruits, and its top rivals in the SEC East, Tennessee and Florida, which, while Georgia's getting better, may be getting desperate in their coaching search. Now, I know that y'all know this, and I know that you like hearing this as much as I like saying it. But I think the situation at Tennessee and Florida right now are really, really strange. And the continued rumors of John Gruden to Tennessee, of Chip Kelly to Florida, I can't help but think that speaks to a desperate situation in both Knoxville and Gainesville, in contrast to a Georgia program right now. You know, we talk about Own the East here on Dawg Nation Daily, a program that owned the East here in 2017, may own the East for quite some time to come, because while Tennessee and Florida seem right now enamored by gimmick coaches and big name, you know, name and like celebrity status type guys, Georgia just keeps plugging away and adding the 4- and 5-star guys that truly contribute to championships, not the NFL pedigree of John Gruden or the you know, cool offense of Chip Kelly and whatever happened for him out there at Oregon. It's the players that make the program, and Georgia's adding those while Tennessee and Florida are chasing down coaches. And speaking of that, as a way of kind of proving maybe just how sort of sad it's gotten in Knoxville, maybe a little sad in Gainesville with fans trying to latch on to some of this kind of stuff, let me let you hear something that happened yesterday. We played this for you in AT&T SEC Country Live. John Gruden, the presumed candidate for the Tennessee job, rumors everywhere that Tennessee AD John Curry had flown a private jet all over the place, finally landed down in Tampa as a way of pitching to John Gruden the need to take the Tennessee job. And some national media folks say Gruden's not going to do that. He doesn't want to be the Tennessee coach. And yet Gruden keeps dropping these rumors, dropping these hints. He goes on the radio in Seattle yesterday, and he's supposed to be talking about the Monday night game, but the announcers ask him just sort of a vague question, and he somehow pivots the answer towards Tennessee. And Vols fans get stirred up again. Here's John Gruden.
Well, Coach, we really appreciate it. Thanks for spending some time with us. When do you get to Seattle?
Hey, I get in Saturday, and I can't wait to get out there. Hope to see you guys. I hear Hewitt's heading out to Knoxville, and just be singing that song, man. That's a great song, Rocky Top.
Yeah, so talking about Rocky Top during the radio interview in Seattle, he's referencing Brock Heward, who's going to do a game at Tennessee, I guess doing the Tennessee-LSU game on Saturday. But the Tennessee fans kind of latch on that. Ooh, maybe the fact that John Gruden's talking about Rocky Top during a radio interview, maybe that means he wants to be the Tennessee coach. Well, listen. Georgia fans, I think, would all say Tennessee can hire John Gruden. They can have him. Right now, Georgia's too busy adding elite recruits to its 2018 class to worry about some former NFL guy who has been out of coaching for a decade taking the Tennessee job. That Tennessee fans may act like if they do get Gruden, if the Rocky Top stuff that Gruden talks about really is a hint and a clue that he wants to be the Tennessee coach, I don't think Georgia fans would bat an eyelash about any of that. Same thing for Chip Kelly at Florida. I think Georgia fans know that if Florida hired Chip Kelly, Kelly, the former Oregon coach, former Eagles coach, former 49ers coach. It might be the best thing that happened for Georgia in that world's largest outdoor cocktail party rivalry. And for those of us who believe that dog fans are supposed to be Gator haters, well, the Gator haters may get what they want if Chip Kelly goes to Florida, because I think a lot of Georgia fans think that he's not likely to succeed because he's not likely to be able to win the recruiting battles necessary for coaching the SEC. And by the way, on that point, Georgia fans may have a bit of an ally, an unlikely ally at that. Steve Spurrier, if you believe what he's been saying, and on the radio again this week, maybe Chip Kelly's not exactly the guy that he wants. Now, he's trying to stay out of it, trying to stay kind of off the record here, but boy, it's easy to read between the lines in the clip I'm about to play for you and the other things that Spurrier said, that maybe he's not the highest on Chip Kelly's candidacy. Here is the most famous Gator of them all kind of talking about the current state of the Florida coaching search.
Well, we still got a lot of time. A lot of the coaches that maybe are candidates or that Scott Strickland were interested in are still coaching. So I don't think anything's going to happen for a couple of weeks here. A lot of rumors and reports and, hey, they're having a press conference. This guy, that guy's going to be announced. But I really believe nothing will be done until the season's over. And I'm not pushing anyone. I'm not recommending anyone. If Scott Strickland asked me for my opinion, I'll do that. The only thing I've said is I really hope that the new coach will just hire one or two former Gator players, maybe on the coaching staff. I just think it's important to have maybe a couple of guys that the fans know about.
Yeah, so listen, the reason why Spurrier had to say he's not pushing for anyone is because there was a report that he was pushing for Scott Frost. And if he is pushing for Chip Kelly, no one's seen that yet. Maybe Spurrier knows. A lot of Georgia fans think they know that Chip Kelly to Florida, not a big deal. John Gruden to Tennessee, it wouldn't be a big deal. What is a big deal in the East and what allows Georgia to own the East going forward is the talent advantage it owns compared to Tennessee and Florida. And that's the thing that I think makes both those programs in Knoxville and Gainesville a little desperate right now. Those teams looking for coaches, Georgia looking for players, and it's the players who win the divisions in the SEC. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We're glad you're with us, whether it's on Facebook Live at 10 a.m., on the radio at noon, on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, or any time of the day or night, any place in the world, wherever podcasts are found. We post the audio version of Dog Nation Daily, both iTunes, the world-famous DogNation.com, everywhere in between. We're just glad you're with us today. You know, speaking of owning the East, something that Georgia did this season over both Tennessee and Florida, here on Dog Nation Daily, that's been a big theme for us all season long. We thought Georgia would own the East in 2017. That's exactly the way that it happened. And we've got these Own the East t-shirts. And, you know, many of you have gotten one. Others of you wanted one. I wish I could give one to every one of you. But what I am doing here over the last few days is giving away an Own the East t-shirt every day at Dog Nation Daily. And today, our winner, want to congratulate Kevin Drummer for winning our Dog Nation Daily Own the East t-shirt. Kevin, congratulations to you on that. And if you'd like to win one yourself, you know, I tweet out a couple times a day a link to the video version of our show in the morning, the audio version of the show in the afternoon. Just simply retweet one of those tweets from me at Dog Nation Daily, and you can be an Own the East winner yourself if we draw your name from that hat. And yes, I know many of you are asking, well, I've won my t-shirt. Why haven't you sent it to me yet? Trust me when I tell you that I'm working with the folks behind the scenes. We're going to be in contact with you, and we're going to be delivering these shirts, so I know I'm a little bit behind on that, but be patient with me just for a little bit. It's been a crazy week here, which is not important to you, but I will tell you, we will get those shirts out to you, so hang with us here for a little bit. We'll start delivering these shirts very soon. I'll also tell you, speaking of something coming up very soon, SEC Championship game in Atlanta in a couple of weeks. We're going to have a huge, huge event for that. It's our Dog Nation invasion to the SEC Championship in Atlanta. We'll tell you about that coming up. It's brought to you by our friends at Kroger. And if you haven't checked out the Kroger click list yet, you need to make sure you check them out at Kroger.com. It's the easiest, most convenient way to shop for your groceries. You can do that at Kroger.com. We'll have Jeff Sintel coming up here in just a moment. Really interesting stuff with Jeff on the Jordan Davis commitment. Before we do that, we should probably talk a little bit about the Georgia game against Kentucky on Saturday. Obviously, there's a lot on the line for Georgia, given the fact that it's senior day. But Kentucky wants to finish its SEC slate on a high note here as well. And one of the games that give them a chance to do that is against Kentucky. I thought that Benny Snell, the Kentucky running back, I thought that he had an interesting statement on the Paul Feinbaum show a little earlier this week, and talking about what the game is going to be like for his team against Georgia. I think we we have this from the Paul Feinbaum show from Benny Snell, kind of talking about what it was he wants to do to Georgia. Can we show the Paul Feinbaum tweet here of Benny Snell against Georgia on Saturday, essentially saying they are coming for Georgia? We got a lot of confidence. We've got a lot of edge. Got a lot of fire down here in Lexington, so we're going to be bringing it on Saturday. That's what Benny Snell, the Kentucky running back, said about what's going to happen on Saturday against the Georgia Bulldogs. And that's probably kind of an important reminder, an appropriate reminder, that Kentucky's coming here ready to play on Saturday, ready to bring it for the Georgia Bulldogs. And I think Georgia's ready to give that back to Kentucky as well. One of the things we're going to talk about a lot on today's show is just how big this one is for Georgia and how much is on the line for the Dogs against Kentucky on Saturday in terms of sending these seniors out on a high note. We'll do all that coming up, including later on. I'll also give you a little taste of what Kirby Smart said about Benny Snell and why this running back is a guy that Georgia needs to respect on Saturday. We'll do that a little bit later on. For now, though, let's get ready to shift our gears back to recruiting here on Dog Nation Daily. Get ready to bring on Jeff Sintel. And, of course, it's great to have you with us on the program today.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
And Jeff Sintel joins us with a lot to talk about today. Georgia adds a really good-looking defensive tackle to the 2018 class, and there are a lot of visitors slated to be in Athens on Saturday. Let's do all that with Jeff Sintel right now. And, you know, Jeff, you've been talking to us about Jordan Davis a lot when you've been on the show here the last couple of weeks. So this is not an unexpected addition to the Dogs class necessarily, but it does look like a good addition. What are your thoughts on Georgia picking up Jordan Davis here?
Well, first of all, Brandon, hey, happy Friday, man.
You too, sir.
Everything's great. Everybody out in the Dog Nation. I guess, I don't know, man, probably since late October, I've kind of felt that Jordan Davis and Georgia were going to be a thing. I think that when he visited on the 4th, you could just kind of tell that he had that about-to-commit glow. That's what I'll start calling that. And, you know, everybody that came out to Kroger, I guess, earlier this week, they wanted, you know, I always get that question, who do I think was next? And, you know, kind of matter-of-factly, I said the name Jordan Davis. I think he just brings size, man. 6'6", 325. And, you know, he's a guy, Brandon, that, you know, kind of fits what Georgia's looking for. If you're a guy like me, and I believe Georgia's culture and how they will maybe reach the levels of how the fans want them to be year in and year out, is it's going to take great mano-a-mano, grown man practices where physical, tough-minded practices are the norm. And you see all these bodies and these big elite bodies that Georgia is potentially bringing in on the offensive line. And Georgia just needs more stalwarts like that on the defensive line. And when you got Jordan Davis, 6'6", 325, definitely not a piece of own the East cake less than that. I'm going to say that he's a gentleman. And, you know, the really cool things about Jordan is, you know, got to know him a little bit through his coaches and everything else over the last maybe 10 days or so. And I tell you, this is a team-first guy. I mean, he wanted to make this announcement before the playoffs because he did not want to take anything away from his Mallard Creek High School team. And I thought it was pretty stinking cool the way he committed. And maybe his commitment announcement was more of a way to tell other college coaches to continue to recruit his brothers, his fellow Mavericks at Mallard Creek High School, and he hoped that him committing would not keep the recruiters away from maybe trying to get some of his best friends on the team scholarships as well. That was just an uncommon move right there by a big-time massive prospect for 2018.
So I believe you told us the other day that Georgia was going to add two more defensive tackles. That's before the Jordan Davis commitment news. I'm assuming that Davis would have been one of those two. Are you thinking there's another defensive tackle still to come? Is it just one more DT here for the class of 2018? If you start thinking about guys like Rick Sandage, who we talked about before you came on the show today, Robert Cooper, who I'm a personal fan of, Christian Barmore, who seems to be sort of a late addition to this conversation, but a guy that's picking up steam quickly. I know you've reported some things about Barmore. I mean, who is the most likely additional defensive tackle to join this class?
Well, I think it's probably, to me, one of those, maybe one of those three names. And I think Cooper and I think Barmore look like the most likely contenders right now. Cooper's a guy, I spoke to him this week, and he basically said Georgia's still coming after him as hard as they ever have, and he just kind of rescheduled his officials. He's now going to take his officials after the college football season. He won't make his final decision until likely on the old school signing day. And I just think maybe for Georgia, and they're wondering, you know, spaces are at a premium, slots are at a premium. I think maybe it might be the first guy between a Barmore, Cooper, and a Sandage that maybe wants to play for Trey Scott and Mel Tucker and Kirby Smart that maybe gets that final slot. Maybe like the first guy, last guy in the door gets the final slot at defensive tackle. And Brandon, you look with Davis, you look with, man, got to remember that tailback turned defensive tackle athlete Devontae Wyatt, yep, who will be at Georgia in January. And then you add Tremel Walthor, and you also add a potential next piece. There's things to think about there. And, you know, one other thing with Tremel Walthor, he's a three-star defensive tackle. People start getting crazy about stars and upgrading slots. I counsel everybody to not think solely on the way these recruiting rankings line up these players. But Tremel did tell me something very interesting this week. He told me that he does not plan on signing during the early signing period, and he plans on signing during the old school national signing day. So that could get kind of interesting right there, especially if Georgia has a whole lot of big fish wanting to jump into the boat during that early signing period as well. So that's something we'll monitor.
All right, so that's a lot to think about, and I have like 1,000 questions about all of that. Let me see if I can sort of condense this down a little bit. Taking Walther out of the conversation for a moment, just kind of go back to the other guys here. Here's an interesting decision I think the coach is going to have to make, and let me just put two guys side by side. Let's say that Christian Barmore is ready to go, ready to sign in December, and willing to come to Georgia. Cooper's going to hold out and wait until February. Now, Georgia got a big defensive tackle in Jordan Davis, so maybe they feel like they've checked that box. Maybe someone who's a slightly more athletic defensive tackle in Barmore might be kind of an attractive prospect. But, you know, if Cooper were the preference, is Georgia going to pass on a guy in December to hold out for a guy in February, or is the fact that one guy is ready to ink the letter of intent going to give him sort of additional stock in the eyes of Georgia coaches there? Are you following all that? I mean, that's kind of the decision these coaches have to make, right?
Yeah, Brandon, and I tell you, man, it's going to be a lot more complicated than that. You remember the Russell Crowe character in the movie A Beautiful Mind? I don't know if you've seen that movie.
Sure.
Where basically the guy was walking around with an IBM computer in his noggin and could, you know, basically balance or dabble in, you know, several layers of advanced genius level economic theory, supply and demand, everything else like that. I think that's what Georgia's class is. I think if you're taking the view of just the defensive tackle position, I think that's going to short sell what the big picture of Georgia is really looking at. You know, take linebacker, for instance. You know, the only thing I can say for certainty is that Georgia will wind up with the 24 best players that they possibly can. So, you know, start thinking about slots. It seems like we're always going to be talking about this for the next 80 days or something like that. Well, Georgia's now at 18 public commitments again, and so that leaves 6 slots. What do you do with defensive tackle now that they've got 3 in the fold? If 3 maybe dream linebackers want to join the class.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Channing Tindall, K.J. Henry, and Otis Reese. Now, a lot of people think that's, you know, the best possible scenario. I think it's a little more likely than people think, especially for 2 of those 3 dudes. So then again, you have to start wondering, do you want another defensive tackle more than you want to add those 3 outside linebacker types? And what about cornerbacks like Tyson Campbell? What about tight end Luke Ford? What about 3 offensive linemen like Cade Mays, Trey Hill, and Jamari Sawyer? Very, very fluid. I think everybody likes to throw out these catchwords like trending and fluid, but I do think that's the reality here with the rest of Georgia's class for 2018.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, and I think that does set up a really interesting, almost like a money ball or, you know, salary cap type thing where you have to start thinking about, you know, how you slot these scholarships and, you know, different guys, different positions, which do you value more, which is a bigger need? It's going to be a really tough decision for the Georgia coaches, but sort of a rich person's problems when you think about the fact that you're trying to decide which elite players you're going to take. Speaking of elite prospects, I thought that Alante Taylor, a guy that's scheduled to take an official visit to Georgia on Saturday, I thought he had a very interesting tweet about Jordan Davis' commitment to Georgia. And, Jeff, you know that people like me are going to notice this and raise an eyebrow. For the people who are watching the video, I think we can show you the tweet of what Taylor put out there. For the rest of you, I'll read it. So Alante Taylor gives the welcome bro with kind of the fist in the air to what Jordan Davis said in his own tweet announcing his commitment to Georgia. Now, Jeff, I know that you can do the math on this, but let me just sort of quickly bring everybody up to speed. Alante Taylor welcomes Jordan Davis to Georgia when Davis himself, or I should say Taylor himself, is not a Georgia commitment. He's visiting Georgia on Saturday, but this is a guy that was, up until just a few minutes ago, a Tennessee commitment. And, you know, still deciding, we think, between a handful of schools here. What does it mean to you that a guy not committed to Georgia is welcoming Jordan Davis into the fold of Georgia?
I knew you'd catch on to that one, Brandon. And I got a lot of stuff to kind of say here on that one, because I mean, it is kind of like, I don't know. I want to paint a picture here of, you know, Adam's Manor at Christmas time, and you know, somebody rings the doorbell. They see the beautiful 16-foot Christmas tree in the foyer, and all of a sudden, the person that answers the door is not Mr. or Mrs. Adams or either of your lovely children, but it is a house guest, a visitor.
Sure.
And it says, welcome, welcome, come on in. We got some oatmeal raisin and some chocolate chip macadamia, no cookies, just came out of the oven. And, I mean, that's really interesting with Alante, who is just visiting Georgia this weekend, but he's out there with the welcome home mat or welcome bro mat to a school he hasn't committed to yet. And, you know, I guess this is the perfect time to drop in a little bit of a tease here, because today's Centel's Intel blog will kind of be like a Pulp Fiction story, I guess, where it seems like we're seeing the ending or the middle before you see the journey or everything else like that. I will say simply this, that Alante Taylor had some very interesting comments about, you know, what he hopes to see out of his official visit, maybe what he wants to hear from Kirby Smart, the questions he still needs to have answered regarding Georgia. And there are also guest appearances in today's blog by names like Justin Fields and Cade Mays. So you've got a whole lot of supporting characters in today's blog where, you know, what's the triangle there and the connection with Justin Fields and Alante Taylor. And also he dropped some very interesting thoughts of his own regarding maybe where Cade Mays is at right now with Georgia as well. So I usually just tell people to read the blog, judge for themselves. I don't try to oversell or overcook anything, but
that sounds great.
That might be one to read today.
Well, that sounds great, Jeff. That really is a nice little enticement right there. And I will say this. I think Georgia fans already have a reason to kind of, you know, crank up Sanford Stadium on Saturday because it's the final, you know, game for the Georgia seniors. But with Alante Taylor kind of coming in looking to be wild and impressed by his own visit to Georgia, Jeff, that feels to me like if you're a UGA fan going to the game, that's another reason to kind of get that place rocking and rolling on Saturday to send, you know, last chance to impress during the season. The recruits are going to be there. You know, I just hope that fans take it as an opportunity to really make Sanford Stadium a special atmosphere on Saturday.
Yeah, and Brandon, I'm going to make sure I play my objective reporter card here as much as possible. But I think Georgia has a great opportunity here to really knock Alante Taylor, knock the visit out of the park with Alante Taylor if all goes well. And, you know, one thing I'd like to just say, first of all, this young man has been through, I guess, the ringer a little bit. He was a long-time commitment to Tennessee. He saw that staff dissolve. He decommits. He's got to kind of hit the reset button on his recruiting. And what happens a lot of times with recruits like this, Brandon, is they turtle. They kind of just shell up. You don't hear from them. They make their moves in silence. They decline a lot of interview requests while they figure things out. But Alante Taylor has not done that. He has been more than forthcoming. He's been very helpful to basically everybody in the media that wants to talk to him this week. And a lot of people misconstrue that. They think that oh, this is a guy just wanting headlines and interviews, and he's a drama guy. Also in that blog, you know, one of the things I try to do besides all this school talk is really humanize these players, man. And Alante Taylor has a very special person in his life that passed away when he was 10 years old. It was his grandmother. And you see with his actions right now, his grandma always taught him to be a good person, try to help others out, to do what he could whenever he could to help somebody else along their journey and along their way. He believes his life is about service and helping people. I think he wants to work with kids potentially when his career is over. And this is just an example of Alante just kind of living that out. He feels he's at an age in his life where he can start doing everything his grandmother taught him and how to live his life and to be a great person. And, I mean, of course, a reporter is going to sit there and be happy when people they want to talk to as far as sources answer the phone and answer the difficult questions. But I do want to just stay here for Alante Taylor, that he is a very unique young person.
That's a really nice story, Jeff. Thanks for sharing that about him. And we're certainly excited about seeing him get a chance to really fulfill his dreams at the college level, whether it be Georgia or somewhere else. For Taylor, that's a really cool thing to think about. Let me kind of go rapid fire here with some of the other visits. Try not to keep it too long. But Ja'Marr Chase expected to be in Athens on Saturday. But you are still not high on this relationship. I think you like Chase as a player. He's a top 100 player in the country. But it sounds like you're just a little bit, you know, every time I've asked you about Ja'Marr Chase, you just don't see much in the way of a relationship between George and Chase, even though Chase, the former Florida commit, is going to be in Athens on Saturday. It sounds like you're not putting a lot of faith in that. Is that correct?
Yeah, Chase is also going to be still up in the air. The information I had midweek was he was still trying to make it. You got to remember he hurt his knee last week, and travel right now is kind of iffy for him given that condition. He just doesn't, to me, Brandon, have enough attachments to Georgia. He doesn't connect with Georgia as well in all the places. Now, yes, he does. He is a teammate at Archbishop Rummel in Metairie, Louisiana, with Aaron Brule. That's one connection there, but he just hasn't been to Georgia. And I just see with spots at a premium, if George is going for another guy in the wide receiver lane, Taylor just makes a whole lot more sense. He's closer to the program. He's been more times. He can also serve you on both sides of the ball. I just think Taylor is a guy that seems like a better, more versatile fit right now for Georgia rather than Chase. I would think Chase, I would probably put him in the backup column maybe if things do not work out well, and maybe Georgia only hits an infield leg-it-out single for Alante Taylor on the official visit this weekend.
Speaking of Louisiana, what do you make about Cardell Thomas, the big five-star offensive lineman from the class of 2019? What do you make about him being in Athens tomorrow? How big of an opportunity is this for Georgia?
Massive, man. He is a huge human being, about 6'4 and a half, 356, and seems like Sam Pittman's just going to keep shopping at the very top of the aisle for those top-tier guards every year. He's going after number one and number two and Sawyer and Hill this year. And, you know, Cardell Thomas, depending on which recruiting service you look at, is either number one or number two. Cardell's actually an LSU commit, but he does know guys like Kyaris Jackson pretty well already. He's got relationships in place with a bunch of other guys that might potentially also sign with Georgia. And, you know, Cardell Thomas really likes what Georgia's building. He likes the backs that Georgia has in place. This is a chance for Georgia to really give Cardell Thomas something to think about. And when you're talking about Thomas, you're talking about one of the elite road grader offensive linemen in 2019. And, Brandon, we're going to say this a lot. 2019 is the year when Georgia could potentially put a number three recruiting class and a number three recruiting class and then top it off with a number one recruiting class. And then for everybody that wants to wonder about whether those personnel deficiencies will be around when maybe Georgia goes to play Auburn in 2019, Georgia stacks up 3 years of classes like that, they will have as much talent as any team in the country.
Yeah, that is really a strong statement. I completely agree with you on that. Anything else we need to know about the visitors for Saturday? I was a little surprised to see Devin Bush coming. I don't know if he's just getting a ride from somebody else that's visiting from Louisiana. He's not a 2019 prospect I've ever really connected to Georgia. Anything else about the visitor list for Saturday you think we got to know about?
Well, there's always going to be the usual commitments and the usual targets for 2018 and 2019. You could probably look to see, I wouldn't be surprised to see Jamari Sawyer there again, the five-star for 2018. You've also got basically the 2019 commitments and everything else. A lot of the 2019 guys like Rashad Chaney and Jaden Hazelwood tell me they'll be back home, as they call it, in air quotes, to Georgia. And it just kind of befuddles me. I guess people just like writing about Jaden Hazelwood and where he goes to visit. I mean, I'm pretty sure Jaden Hazelwood told me after Justin Fields committed that he was 1,000% committed to Georgia. And I think maybe the next time I asked him, he might say he's 3,000% committed to Georgia.
But you can't help people not to notice. I mean, he enjoys taking visits, which I don't fault him for doing whatsoever. But the recruiting community is going to notice when Hazelwood goes somewhere else, no matter how many thousands of percentage points he has committed to Georgia. People are going to notice that, though, right?
Of course, he's the nation's number one receiver for 2019. But I mean, it's kind of, I think to me, people read that and they kind of wonder if the connection is weakening or if other schools are gaining on Georgia. But the true reflection I get from Jaden every time is it's like everywhere he goes, it just reinforces the fact that nowhere else is quite like Georgia.
Well, that's a very good statement, absolutely, for sure. All right, there's plenty more we could talk about. I was going to ask you about Jake Ray. We'll do that later on. I don't want to keep you long. Thanks for being here with us. And, Jeff, I'm looking forward to seeing you, believe it or not, for the final time in Athens on Saturday for the UGA home game. We'll be at the Georgia UGA bookstore for our Dixie Vodka postgame show. Jeff, I'm looking forward to being with you for that, and hope to talk to you then. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, Brandon, something also to remember. I know fans are sometimes short-sighted about that Auburn loss, but Georgia wins on Saturday, and that's an undefeated home slate for the Bulldogs. And just look through history, that hasn't happened a whole lot this century, as it hasn't happened a whole lot ever in the Georgia program of late. So that's another thing checking off, an undefeated home slate for Georgia in 2017.
That is a great point, Jeff. Thanks for your time. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, man.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Good stuff from Jeff Sintel. And as he pointed out, home slate undefeated on the line tomorrow. A lot of other stuff as well. We'll talk more about the Georgia-Kentucky game before we're done here today on Dog Nation Daily. I remind you also that Dog Nation Daily is brought to you in parts by my friends at MyBookie. This time of year, holiday money, it's leaving your pocket. You want to put some back in. That means you want to get in on the action at MyBookie with the football games, the basketball games, the hockey games. You want that cash to kind of pay for those holiday parties and kids' presents and things like that? Well, my friends at MyBookie got you covered on that regard. You can play with the pros play. You can bet the point spread, the money line, the over-under totals. It's all there for you at MyBookie. And right now, MyBookie's got a special offer for Dog Nation Daily listeners and viewers. You can get your first deposit matched up to 50%, but you've got to use the promo code Dog Nation. The promo code is Dog Nation. You think after all this time, I have that down. But it is Dog Nation, spelled the way it's supposed to, D-A-W-G, Dog Nation. Website mybookie.ag. Your first deposit can be matched up to 50%. You play, you win, you get paid. It's simple as that at MyBookie. Check them out online at mybookie.ag, but make sure you use the promo code Dog Nation. All right. SEC games on Saturday, and if you ever wanted a Saturday to, I don't know what, go to the Kentucky game, but also do a little shopping around Athens or hang out, maybe watch it on TV and then go, get an early dinner. Not a ton to pay attention to this weekend, which sometimes in college football means a big upset's lurking around the corner. We'll have to see if that goes down. But this is what's going to happen this weekend in the SEC. You got Alabama and Auburn. They're both playing cupcakes. They're obviously setting the stage for what I think is going to be a fantastic Iron Bowl next Saturday. And all of college football will be watching it. I think Georgia fans will be watching it especially because I think obviously Georgia fans want to kind of find out who the opponent is for the Dogs in the SEC championship. So Alabama and Auburn will take a bit of a break in. Auburn plays Louisiana Monroe. Alabama plays Mercer, getting ready to play each other the week after that. There are some conference games, though, some things worth paying attention to. Mississippi State goes to Arkansas. My assumption is Arkansas has nothing to play for here. Brett Bielema knows he's getting fired, but he's currently still employed. Cole Kelly, the quarterback, suspended, or at least their most recent quarterback suspended because of his DUI issue. I think Mississippi State probably wins this game. I think Mississippi State is good. I think Mississippi State has something to play for. Now, be careful here given the fact they expended a lot of energy last week against Alabama. I mean emotional energy. Sometimes going on the road after a game where you probably play above your head, not the easiest thing in the world to do. So maybe if you want to think about the point spread at my bookie, maybe Arkansas is worth the flyer at that point in time. But I believe that Mississippi State probably wins the game. UAB goes to Florida. Blazers are bowl eligible here. This is a much tougher game, believe it or not, for Florida than it might appear to be. In the sort of like list of cupcake games in the SEC, Florida playing UAB probably does not fit into that discussion because Florida only about a 10-point favorite or so, which kind of speaks to just how bad it's gotten for the Gators and maybe another chance for Georgia fans to enjoy another low for Florida on Saturday if this thing goes Georgia Southern on them the way it did at home there in the Swamp a couple years ago. LSU and Tennessee, you know, every time I've talked about this on AT&T SEC Country Live this week, I've essentially said the same thing. LSU's the much better team. They're a big favorite on the road. Tennessee's got an interim coach in Brady Hoke. Got a real kind of curious situation at quarterback. But something about this has just made an alarm go off for me all week long. And what I keep saying to LSU is to be very careful here. LSU has sort of put the Troy loss in the rearview mirror. They're in the college football playoff top 25 right now. They came in at number 20 this past week. It's actually turned out to be kind of an okay season for Ed Orgeron in his first year, given where things sort of stood after that loss to Troy. If you're LSU, you just got to be really, really careful here because this would not be a good way, kind of tripping up against a Tennessee team that's just a disaster. This would not be a good way to send Orgeron into the offseason. But something about this just sort of does not quite set right with me. Well, maybe I'm just wrong. It's a false positive, but I have thought about this game a lot this week. A&M's at Ole Miss. Ole Miss actually done better than you might think since Shea Patterson got hurt. I think the Texas A&M's probably the better team, but at this point, who really even knows? Missouri's against Vanderbilt. Missouri also a team that sort of quietly played better as of late. They're a sizable favorite here on the road at Vanderbilt. Most people expect them to cruise. We'll see if the Tigers are able to indeed do that. Then you've got your top national games, games that could impact where Georgia's ranked by the College Football Playoff Selection Committee on Tuesday night. Only one game this week involving two ranked teams. It's number 24, Michigan, and number 5, Wisconsin. You know, my guess is that this may be that time where the Wisconsin haters get to actually see them challenged by a team that's good enough to beat them. My guess is that Michigan on the road will play them close all day long. And I think that Wisconsin could be in a fight to win this game, but I have been wrong about Wisconsin before. Miami, a pretty sizable favorite at home against Virginia. It seems like all Miami does, by the way, is play these home games. They are on the road against Pitt next week to close out the season. But another home game for Miami on Saturday, my guess is they probably coast on that. And then, you know, Oklahoma, Kansas, it's really the only other game of note at all. Oklahoma's nearly a 40-point favorite against the Jayhawks. That's kind of your national scene, and we'll make that your SEC through. All right, here on Dog Nation Daily, as promised, I kind of want to get back to the Georgia-Kentucky conversation for a moment. And, you know, earlier in the show, I kind of showed you what Kentucky running back Benny Snell said. He's a good player, and he said that they got something for Georgia. They're coming. They're ready for this game. Got a lot of emotion. And, you know, this week, Kirby Smart talked about Benny Snell and what he brings to the table. And I was supposed to play this earlier in the show. To be honest with you, I just was running late. I was talking too much. Michael, can we go back and play the Benny Snell? So this is Kirby Smart talking about the Kentucky running back who thinks his team's going to show up and play well in Athens. Smart thinks he's good enough to do that. Here's Smart on Snell.
He's just as good as Kerryon. I mean, he runs the ball really hard. He's really physical. He gets his pads down. Good back, and they're committed to the run. So we got to strike. We got to keep edges. We got to tackle well. We got to fit things. We got to play better.
It's quite a compliment that Kirby Smart gives to Benny Snell to say he's as good as Kerryon Johnson, a running back that not only had a great day against Georgia, but may have put himself in the Heisman conversation with that and the rest of the games he's having. Kirby Smart, when he looks at Benny Snell on film, he sees a guy that brings a lot of the same kind of stuff to the table. So that's a challenge to the Georgia defense. And you know, the one thing that you know I've been trying to say this week, and I know that some of you still have a little bit of a hangover left over from what happened with Georgia against Auburn, but you know there is something at stake for Georgia tomorrow. There is kind of something out there. Stopping Benny Snell matters for Georgia on Saturday. As Jeff said when he joined us a moment ago, it's a chance for Georgia to win all of its home game, something that hasn't happened a lot in recent years, especially last year. But that's something that Georgia has to play for. And as Kirby Smart said this week, another reason why stopping Benny Snell and having a good game against Kentucky matters is because for these Georgia seniors, it's a chance to also do something this program has never done before. Here's how Kirby Smart described that.
Well, I think it's just the next step. I mean, it's who we play next. So, I mean, our goal is to win every game. So that's the next step, is to give these seniors an opportunity to do something that no Georgia team's ever done. And that's beat every team in the East, and that's the goal. The goal is to send them out on top at Sanford Stadium.
And listen, if there's ever a group of seniors that deserve that kind of feeling from their coach and deserve that kind of response from fans, it is these Georgia seniors, guys like Nick Chubb and Sony Michel and Davin Bellamy, Lorenzo Carter, Aaron Davis, Isaiah Wynn, on and on. You could go about these guys and the contribution they've made to Georgia. Dominic Sanders you could put in there. You could rattle off the entire list. You could go on and on about this contribution. It is significant, and it speaks to what kind of season they have. They are on the doorstep of doing something that no other Georgia team has done, winning every game against every opponent from the SEC East, sweeping the East, so to speak. That's a tremendous accomplishment. And here on Dog Nation Daily, we talk a lot about owning the East. We believe that Georgia not only did that this year, we think the Dogs are going to do that for many years to come, and we think the foundation for that in the future is laid by the seniors for this team this year. That when you look back on significant Georgia teams, whether this team wins the SEC or the national championship or not, I think this second team for Kirby Smart will be viewed as one of those significant bedrock teams that leads to future success. And wouldn't it be great to say this team did something that no other Georgia team had ever done? It did win every game against every opponent from its division. So for one day only here on Dog Nation Daily, what we decided to do was alter the logo that we use a lot. I wear my Own the East t-shirt a lot. We give these Own the East t-shirts away. But for one day only, we kind of wanted to alter that logo and kind of provide something that is just perfect for this story. I think we can show this here. So we took our Own the East logo, and we kind of marked through the Own. If you're listening to the show and you want to see this, you can go to my Twitter account, Dog Nation Daily. I put this up on Twitter as well. We marked through the Own, and we put up the sweep. So for one day only, the battle cry here for this show is not Own the East, it's Sweep the East. And boy, I'd love to see Dog Nation do that on Saturday. I'd love to see these Georgia seniors do that on Saturday. We've had such a good time this year watching the way that they've led. And for a guy like Nick Chubb, who I think spent a lot of years at Georgia as more of a leader by example, but came more of a vocal leader in his senior season, seeing him take on that maturity has been really impressive. And seeing Lorenzo Carter, who's kind of always been a great leader, I think, off the field, a guy that a lot of Georgia players pattern themselves after, but has become a dominant player on the field as well, that's been kind of a cool thing to see, too. One way or another, it's an entirely impressive group of seniors for a final time tomorrow in Sanford Stadium. I, for one, am really thankful I get a chance to be there tomorrow to kind of watch them go out on their final day. And if you're going to the game, too, hope you have a good time with that. We'll hopefully get a chance to bump into each other on campus maybe at some point in time. And when people see me on the Georgia campus, really anywhere around Athens or anywhere around Dog Nation, the one thing I hear a lot is, hey, I'm a Gator hater. And I love knowing there are a lot of Gator haters out there around Dog Nation. We believe here on Dog Nation Daily that Georgia fans are supposed to be Gator haters. It's one of the reasons why we do our Gator Hater Countdown. We did it all last year. It led to a 42-7 victory for Georgia. We're doing it this year as well. 344 days from right now. Dogs go back to Jacksonville, get another win against the Florida Gators, and we're proud of that here on Dog Nation Daily. As I mentioned a moment ago, we've also got our Own the East t-shirts. If you want to be entered into a chance to win one of our Own the East t-shirts, just simply retweet one of the links to our show from my Twitter account, at Dog Nation Daily on Twitter. Really appreciate you sharing our show and love to give you a Own the East t-shirt. Also, Dixie Vodka postgame show from the UGA bookstore immediately after the game tomorrow. We'll see you there for that, and then back again on Monday for Dog Nation Daily.